Welcome to The Author Show, where we feature new authors and books from fiction to self-help and everything in between. You'll find it all at theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. And now let the show begin.
Hi, this is The Author Show, and I'm your host, Linda Thompson. An impulsive choice, an untimely death, a shattered family. Can love survive even this? This is the beginning of the synopsis for The Circle Unbroken by author Nancy Masson. Nancy joins us to share Mavis Powell's story set in 1964. Nancy, welcome to The Author Show.
Well, thanks, Linda. I'm really excited to be here.
Nancy, will you please give us a quick overview of The Circle Unbroken?
Well, it's 1964. It's Freedom Summer, and we're in Mississippi. A preacher sends his 16-year-old daughter up north to his brother's house because he thinks she's in danger. His church blows up and he dies. So there she is in New York City for the rest of her life. She meets her cousin's best friend. They're as different as night and day. Sparks fly, and the choices they make sends this family into a vortex that they may never come out of.
Wow. So during your long career as a teacher, was there a specific incident or person that provided the inspiration for the story in The Circle Unbroken?
Not in my teaching career, Linda, but what happened was I was taking a walk on a Saturday and stopped at a cross light. You know, the pedestrian light was on, and next to me was an older woman, and her leg was in a cast and she was using a cane. And so I offered my arm and I said, you know, would you like an arm? And she said, oh, yes. And light changed. We started walking across the street together, and she was pretty slow because of the cast. We stopped traffic about 3 times. To pass the time, I said, so what did you do with your leg? How'd you hurt your leg? And she told me the long, sad story about the rehab and the knee operation. It wasn't going well. And by the time we got to the other side, she said, and I just lost my husband of 50 years. And her face was just shining with joy. I thought to myself, what kind of love would that have been to make this woman smile after 50 years with all these hardships? We said our goodbyes. I went home, and her story followed me and would not let me go. And that's how it grew.
Very interesting. So did you write your book for a specific age group or type of reader?
Yeah, I'm writing for older teens, probably girls. And I would say from 16 up. My protagonist is 16, but there is a marriage in the story and everything that ensues from that. So I would say from older teen to new adult.
You've been writing short stories for a long time, and this is your first novel. Mm-hmm. How would you describe your writing style?
When I was in grad school, one of my professors told me that my style reminded him of Bernard Malamud, and that thrilled me since he was one of my favorites at the time.
Is The Circle Unbroken similar to anything else we may have read?
Well, if you're familiar with Mitali Perkins, You Bring the Distant Near, kind of it's a family saga. I think it would reach that kind of audience.
Your book is set during the racial turbulence of the 1960s. Why did you choose this period of time for your first book?
That's when I grew up, Linda, and it just resonates with me. I have a lot of memories of that time, even though I was very young in 1964. I was only 12, but I was watching it on the news. And as I grew up, I was very, very concerned about civil rights, and I just couldn't let go of it.
Well, at age 12, did your family sit around the dinner table at night and talk about this? Is that how you learned more?
No, we talked about it somewhat as much as it was on the news, but it was more with my friends. A lot of us would gather after school, and as I got older, we would go to coffee houses, and we had a very mixed group, and we would all talk about it together, and I was just concerned. So by the time I got to college, my friend circle was very diverse, and this kind of concern just followed me all into my adult life.
Will your characters Mavis, Harris, or any of the others return to us in a sequel or maybe even a series?
Yes, they all will. I am currently working on the second one in the series. It's just a couple chapters in right now because I'm a very slow, meticulous writer. But Mavis comes back, Harris comes back, although they take a back seat in the sequel. And Harris's younger brother takes the helm with some very interesting new characters.
What's the name of your series?
The series doesn't have a name yet, so that's pending. Right now, it's just called The Sequel.
How many books are you planning for your series?
I don't know yet, Linda. You know, let's take one thing at a time. So at present, I'm working on the second one. The plot's all worked out in my head. But as I said, you know, as once I sit down, I tend to write and rewrite and ad infinitum. So it's going to take a while.
Do your characters take on traits of real people, or are they pure fiction?
The people who have read it tell me it reminds them of people that they know. I was not conscious of this as I was writing it, but I think as with any author, what's in your head and what's in your heart comes out through your fingers as you type. You just can't avoid it. So yeah, you know, once I finished it and once people started telling me, oh, I know this guy, I know this woman, I'm thinking, well, yeah, you know, I guess you do. And one of them is me.
Mavis is from Mississippi and Harrison from New York City. How did these two meet?
They met in church. Mavis was a very churchy, sheltered, naive 16-year-old. Harris had his roots in the Harlem Club, but he was joined at the hip to his cousin, whose father was a deacon in the Baptist church up on 125th Street. So, you know, the first weekend she was there, she went to church with the family. She saw Harris singing in the choir, and his voice blew her away. He comes home for dinner, and the rest is history.
What kind of research did you have to do to make sure that some of the historical things in your book were accurate?
I had to do a lot of research about Mississippi and about Freedom Summer because, like I told you, I was only 12, and the only information I had was memories of the news. Memories of policemen with hoses and people falling down in the street and clubbing, and it was brutal. But this was all news images, and so I had to go back and research what exactly happened, the names of the streets, the names of the jail, some of the people who were involved, the literacy movement, registering people to vote and teaching them how to read so they could pass that ridiculous test that would allow them to register to vote. So I had to do a lot of work to make sure that my story was accurate according to the times.
There's a lot of pain, loss, and despair in your book. Would it be giving too much away to ask if Mavis and Harris find their happy ending?
I'll give that away. And the answer is yes, they do. Love triumphs, and it's a testimony to the redeeming nature of love.
What would you say is the primary message, or maybe even the moral to the story in Circle Unbroken?
Well, Linda, it's a story about forgiveness. Things were done that normal people just can't forgive. And the message of the story is that we can forgive. And when you forgive, there's healing. I'm reminded of a recent case in New York City where a police officer, a white female police officer, shot a black male who she believed to be in her apartment, but it wasn't her apartment. She shot him, she killed him. And during the trial, she was sentenced to 10 years in jail. After the sentencing, the victim's brother asked the judge if he could hug the woman right there in the courtroom. And he did. And he said, I forgive you. That blew me away. And it happens in real life. You know, in extreme circumstances, people have forgiven unconscionable crimes.
I remember that hug, and it hit me as well. So I'm just amazed at the ability of some people to forgive. So, Nancy, will you please read a short excerpt from The Circle Unbroken for our listeners?
I'd love to. Just to give a little context, you know, I mentioned that Mavis and Harris were from different sides of the tracks, if you will, and this is the first time that Mavis entered the club where Harris's father played. And Harris's father is a local legend, and she is going there to meet her boyfriend's father. I could hardly hear the guitar for all the noise in the audience, but Harris's daddy just kept on playing like he was all by himself. Then he leaned into the mic and started humming real soft, just bum-bum-bitty-bum, from way down in his belly. And folks settled into their seats and nodded with the beat, sipped on their drinks, dragged on their cigarettes, till all you could hear was that voice. If it wasn't for the smoke, I could have closed my eyes and sworn I was at church listening to Harris, except I didn't know the song and the words didn't make any sense. When the audience was all quiet, Mr. Brown closed his eyes with his lips to the mic and said, "Hush, children, Alvin gonna sing you a lullaby." When I heard the first line of the song, tears spilled over and ran down my cheeks. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, he sang. And with each repetition, my tears flowed stronger until my shoulders shook and I had to cover my face. Harris pulled me close to him. I was indeed a motherless child a long way from home. Uncle Cal had first unleashed my pent-up tears when he told me about my family's funeral, and I thought I'd been able to let go of them then. But with one line of the old song, all my sorrows were resurrected. Harris's daddy took me down to the pit of despair with him when he sang. And then, just when I thought I was ready to die, he lifted me back up again. Sometimes I feel like an eagle in the sky, he sang. And I did. I felt like that eagle, leaving all my troubles below. I lifted my face from where I'd buried it in Harris's shirt and watched his daddy, who was looking straight at me while he sang, the same way Harris looked at me in church when he wasn't allowed to talk to me. And I understood then that when there are things you just can't say to people, you can sing. Harris had been talking to me the whole month in a language that went deeper than words, and his daddy had probably taught him how. So whatever his daddy was, and no matter how much Aunt Caroline insisted he was the head of a clan of heathen, I decided I was going to like him anyway. The song was done. My face was still wet with tears, but I was smiling. Dry your tears, children, he spoke into the mic, but I knew he was talking just to me. Remember, the sun's always shining on the other side of the cloud.
Oh, my. So where can we learn more about you, and where can we purchase The Circle Unbroken?
Well, I have a website. It's nancymassand.com, and I'll spell it out for you. It's NancyM as in Mary, ASS, Sam, AND. So nancymassand.com. And on the website, there is a link to a major retailer. You can find the book at any major online retailer.
We've been talking with Nancy Masson, author of The Circle Unbroken. Nancy, it's been a real pleasure talking with you about your book. Thank you for taking time to share it with us today. I do hope that when you publish your next book, that you'll want to come back and visit with us again.
I certainly will, Linda. Thank you so much.
Here's a review for The Circle Unbroken that I hope will inspire you to start reading Nancy's novel. A wonderful work of fiction. Characters are vibrant and have depth. The story transforms the reader to 1964 with all its difficulties and challenges. A story about relationships and the power of family. And I thank you for listening. The Author Show podcast may be accessed at any time by visiting theauthorshow.com. And selected interviews can also be found on major podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, SoundCloud, and many more. Are you an author who would like to be featured on our show? Please visit theauthorshow.com and complete the interview request form so that we may contact you. Marketing is seldom easy for authors, and The Author Show is a great way to promote your work worldwide using a high-quality interview that can make a real impact. Please visit our site daily as we continue to introduce wonderful authors of very interesting books on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. Find out more about authors and their work at theauthorshow.com. Theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.